Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is a friend of the show, joining us live via satellite as he does every once in a while. You playing golf today, huh? That's what I heard.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm trying to do. See if I can sneak out of the house when my wife sees me.
Is that how it goes at the Prehm household? Got to get.
Yeah. I recently joined the club, and we get a 48-hour window to set tee times. So I can't, set a tee time for next weekend if I wanted to go play. And so what I typically do is wake up in the morning, set a tee time. Like if it was on Sunday, I would set a tee time for today. And then Sunday would roll around and be like, oh, yeah, in about an hour and a half, I got a tee time. I got to go. We're paying money to be there. So I got to be able to get out there.
It's a priority at that point. You're invested.
Yep.
Prehm, is college athletics, pro athletics, I'm crossing my fingers that this all works out and that there's no stoppage of play, but I feel like we're rushing a little bit. How do you feel?
Kind of. I kind of agree with you. We're seeing COVID cases, Alabama with 5 football players, and I think Iowa or Ole Miss, some other schools have come out and have announced that they've had athletes return and they have COVID. And that does not surprise me. I think here in Lane County, our COVID cases have gone up, but that's also because, as they stated in their request to go to phase 2 with the governor, was that their testing has substantially gone up here. And so naturally, if you test more people and you drastically test more people, the numbers of positive tests are gonna go up too. And so, college athletes are returning, meaning more people are getting tested that normally wouldn't, and they're coming back asymptomatic. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've seen anyone yet show up with symptomatic cases of a positive test of COVID. It's all just asymptomatic. That part doesn't necessarily worry me. Parts that worry me are what are these schools going to do once they test test positive? Will the athletes, and look, I was 18, I was 21, I was 22 at the time, and I, I made mistakes. I thought I was fine, and I was told, don't go out at this time because it's past campus curfew or what have you, and I did it. There was no alcohol allowed in the dorms. And, I had alcohol in the dorms. It's just nature of the beast of a younger generation of seeing what they can get away with. And will the athletes follow the rules? And will they – and it's not rules set by a program. It's set by the health officials. So if you want to keep playing football, you've got to quarantine for 2 weeks or 10 days or whatever the school is. And that part worries me, but the bigger part is, we don't have uniformed guidelines in college athletics or sports in general of how frequently you're going to test. Like, the Pac-12 has come out and said that they're going to test once a week, and they're going to test everybody. The SEC has come out and said that they're going to test, but they're only going to test the people that are showing signs of symptoms. And it's up to the schools themselves to say we're going to test everybody whether asymptomatic or not. So we need someone to step forward and say, hey, look, if you can afford to test you need to test everybody, and you need to test everybody, you know, X amount of times per week. That's the part that really concerns me. We don't have a uniform guideline of how we're handling this.
Yeah, and ultimately, if you're going to test, you want to test early in the week so you know who's available to you if you're a coach, like on a Monday, and you'd want to test maybe midweek because there's a three-day incubation period and before people start
right.
shedding. And then you'd probably want to test right before kickoff. You'd probably want to go three times a week, which is going to be really costly, and nobody's going to do that.
Exactly. And I was talking with someone today of like college athletics and certainly professional athletics, they can afford that. They can afford to pay, you know, one, two, three times a week for testing. But what about the Lewis and Clark? What about the George Fox? What about Park Rose High School? What about Lake Ridge? What about Sheldon High School down here in Eugene? Can all these schools afford, you know, from a high school level, can they afford to pay for all of those testing? And then B, is that how tax dollars should be spent for, you know, three rounds of testing for high school sports? I don't know the answer to that question, but there's going to be a lot of people out there, organizations out there that are going to be told to test, and I don't know if they can, you know, smartly afford to do it.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is our guest. Matt, yesterday I had Nick Daschle on the show. You happened to be listening to that interview, and you texted me, I think Daschle's right. What did you hear from Nick Daschle that you thought was right? And let's bring that forward into another discussion.
Yeah, so he was talking about how schools, you know, Oregon State in particular was he was talking about, but he also said it was everybody is going to have to look at, you know, how they spend money. And is it really necessary for instance, you know, the Oregon football team here in Eugene, do they need to be paying to send the entire team to a hotel on a Friday night before a football game on Saturdays? You know, especially when, let's say, you know, Oregon's got the 7:45 in the evening kickoff on Saturday. What good does that do on a Friday night? And I think that's right. I think schools are going to have to really look at how they spend their money and what they're spending their money on and what is deemed as a pure necessity and what is actually more of a luxury. But the bigger picture that I thought, and I've thought for a while, is I hope sports in general just uses COVID as a reason to reset the sports calendar, because we have so many things that are overlapping. And if we spaced it out just a little bit, we could really see some of these, especially at the collegiate level, see some schools that don't make money in basketball make money, and significant money, I think. And we could see a bunch of schools who don't make any money at all with spring sports be in a position where if they play the games later on, they could make some money off of it. And it's self-sustaining. You know, Daschle was saying that a lot of these schools are realizing how much they rely on football to pay their bills. And that's true. And I think he talked to a lot of coaches at schools that aren't football coaches. They would, you know, probably admit that for the most part. It's important that the school plays football because it helps pay for the travel for the baseball team. I think if we played football when it's normally played in August to December, and instead of playing basketball and other winter sports that start in early November, and they start practicing in September, and we push that to some point in December, and conference play in basketball starts in late January, that puts a lot of eyeballs on basketball that normally wouldn't be there. Because I know from my own readership, and I'm sure, John, you would see it too, and your own listeners on your show, of during the month of November and the early month of December, The consumer is dialed in on football. And you could have Oregon play Memphis in Portland with the number one pick on the line, another potential first-round draft pick, and Peyton Pritchard playing in that game, and you have 6,000 people show up. And a made-for-TV top 25 matchup, and hardly anyone shows up because it's on a Tuesday in the middle of the deep run of college football and the NFL. And basketball just right now isn't on most the average sports fans' mind. And so if you push basketball into the later part of the winter and it finishes in April or early May, you've created a window in which basketball is the primary sport for almost the majority of the time. You start spring sports in May and they run all the way through July. You've now created a window in which, look, I love going to baseball games. My boys love it. I would 100%. We go to the minor league baseball here in town in Eugene. We go to multiple games a year, and we don't go to Oregon games because when Oregon plays their baseball games, because of the calendar, current calendar, it's too cold. It's raining. It's wet. I'm not going to go sit outside to watch baseball when it's raining and it's cold and it's damp. You put this sport in July and June and May, and I'll go on the weekends. I'll pay money to go watch college baseball or college softball.
Are you telling me also that if they start tinkering with the schedule in the spring, why not redo the whole thing? Do you think that the solution for college athletics is to look at, hey, our two revenue producing sports in basketball and football, they cannot compete with each other?
I think so. I mean, how many fans? I have no data behind this, but I bet you go and look at the attendance numbers in basketball, and they go up after for colleges across the board. Probably they probably go up in January, and that's kind of around when league play starts, and that certainly matters. But it also matters that college football is done with the fans. You know, so much is devoted towards, I got to know what my football team is. We're going to go tailgate on Saturday, so we got to go shopping for that. And then we've got to be able to get ourselves ready in terms of, I want to know who they're playing, so I want to listen to a podcast here, and I want to watch, you know, highlights of this team that they're playing, you know, that are done. Everything that fans do getting ready for a college football game on a Saturday. And then you say, oh, in the month of November, too, by the way, on this Monday and on this Thursday, there's a men's basketball game. And then next week, there's a huge women's basketball game on a Wednesday. And don't forget that men's game on Thursday that's also being played. But don't forget, on Saturdays, you need to come down to Eugene and you need to watch our football team play, too. There's only so much time in the world. And why fight against yourself for that time when you could space it out a little bit and you maximize, look, fall, it's football and the other fall sports, and then we'll have maybe a month of overlap and a gear up of warm-up games, and then in early January when basically college football is over with, that's when all the big basketball, non-conference basketball games are played. Late January, you're starting the conference play, and all really you lose is March Madness and the slogan of that. If that's the biggest holdup, then we've got bigger issues.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. I appreciate you. Go have a good round of golf. The rest of us are going to be working. Thanks, Matt.
I appreciate it.
All right, there he is from 24/7 Sports. Matt Prehm, I want you to leave it here. The Big Splash coming up. Our Big Splash, we do it every day on the program. It is the biggest thing going on in the world of sports. What is it today?
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the Big Splash.
Well, the NCAA's Committee on Infractions today put Oklahoma State's men's basketball program on 3 years of probation. They also banned the Cowboys from playing in the postseason tournaments next season. Level one violation. It involves former assistant head coach Lamont Evans, who was sentenced to 3 months in prison in June of 2019. He accepted bribes to steer players from South Carolina and Oklahoma State to certain agents and financial advisors. They also hit Evans with a 10-year show cause penalty, which means that during the next decade, any NCAA member school that employs him has to restrict him from any athletically related duties unless it shows cause for why the restriction should not apply. Basically, Oklahoma State got punched in the ribs by the NCAA for their part in this basketball corruption trial. Christina's in Portland. Longtime listeners called in.
Hey,
how are you, Christina?
I don't think that the sports system went away because the coronavirus is going to rise.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that we're getting back too soon, Christina. Are you out in public wearing a mask yet? Or are you gone no mask? Where are you?
I wear a mask. Otherwise, I am in my car.
Yeah, you're like that. My wife is the same way. We're still doing the tactical approach to grocery shopping. One of us goes into the store. The other person in the parking lot, car running. Ready to go. Everybody's masked. It's a little bit like a bank robbery. It's a little Ocean's 11 or money heist. Coming up 1 o'clock hour, John Wilner of the Mercury News will be joining us. Christina's been listening for years. Appreciate that she listens. Alabama Adriana's graduation celebration. Last chance, last day to join it. In fact, we're down to just 2 hours. AdrianaRocks.com if you want to wish her a congratulations, give her some advice. You got the bald-faced truth statewide.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.